Well, we're going to finish up our look at 2 Timothy. So I want to tell you something. I want to tell you how I came about to preach from the book of 2 Timothy. It really wasn't on my radar screen. I had, you know, I try to plan my sermons. I've got most of the bones, if you will, for even up my Christmas sermons. I have to do that in advance for a lot of reasons, none the least of which, so the choir and the music, and they can be working on it. But I really didn't have much in mind for October. And a church member came to me, and she said, "You know, preacher, I'd like to hear you preach from 2 Timothy chapter 4. I said, "Well, okay, I can do that sometime." Well, I got to reading chapter 4, and I thought, well, let's see. 2 Timothy has four chapters. October has four Sundays. This might turn into something. And so that's really how I came about to preach from it. But that's not to diminish or take away the message that Paul is conveying to Timothy. You know, over the last three Sundays and this one as well, I want you to remember that these are believed to be the last words that Paul ever spoke that were recorded. Okay? Paul is in the Mamertine prison hole in the ground, a septic tank, if you will, in the ground. Cold, wet, stinking, no food, no, you can only imagine the conditions, the rodents and everything else. Everybody that's in that tank area with him is in there to do one thing, and that is to die. You see, that's where they would hold, that's death row. Paul has been deserted by everyone except Dr. Luke. And so I almost envision Dr. Luke is standing over the grate in the ground, the manhole cover, if you will, and he's listening to Luke, I mean to Paul, and Paul is saying, "Write this down." And so he's writing it down. And he writes this letter that we now know as 2 Timothy. And he says, "Get this letter to Timothy ASAP." Now, history would hold, unfortunately, that Paul died before Timothy got the letter. You see, they didn't have FedEx and overnight service or anything like that. And so it had to go from Rome to Ephesus, and they had to find Timothy and give him the letter. And I'm sure that as soon as Timothy read the letter, he probably started doing exactly what Paul had told him to do. Gather up the things that he told him to do and get there ASAP. Only to find that Paul was gone. Okay, so I've kind of set the stage for you. A little gloomy there, you know? So let's lighten the humor a little bit. Lighten the mood up a little bit. Let's go back to that fun festival. You know, over the last three Sundays, I've been picking on Barry Divers. You know, Barry, I hold great respect for Barry. You know, he chooses to wear a suit and tie, coat and tie to church on Sunday. I have absolutely no problem with that. Church. In fact, even before I came here, every Sunday I wore a suit and tie. But I always picked on Barry, and I told him, "No suits and ties, Barry, no suits and ties." And Barry, thank you very much. You didn't wear a suit and ties more. But Barry told me this past week, he said, "So, preacher, who are you going to pick on this Sunday?" Well, we all know that the world's full of little Johnny jokes. Johnny's mother looked out the window and she noticed Johnny out there, quote, playing church. He was playing church with their cat. And the cat was sitting quietly and Johnny was preaching to it. And she smiled and she went on about what her work and her chores. Well, a little while later, she heard this loud meowing and hissing and carrying on. And so she ran back over to the open window only to look out to see Johnny trying to baptize the cat. Yeah. She called out, "Johnny, stop that, Johnny. That, the cat's afraid of water." Johnny looked up at her and he said, "Well, he should have thought of that before he joined my church." Go get him, Johnny. All right. Paul sends word to Timothy. "Come, hurry, fast, quick, now. I need you, urgent." He wants him to come to Rome to be by his side. In fact, in the New Living Translation, the NLT, I love how it translates that opening phrase where it tells him to come quickly. In the NLT, it says, Timothy. There we go. Johnny's baptizing a cat. In the NLT, it says, Timothy, please come as soon as you can. Paul wants to see his beloved son in the faith one last time. Give him one last shot of encouragement. You know, it seems that in the face of approaching death, the apostle craves to have his beloved son Timothy with him. He is lonely and in need of Timothy because, as I said a moment ago, everyone has deserted him. Paul talks about how Demas and others have left him and gone. And so as Paul writes these final words to Timothy, he's not in a place of comfort or ease. You remember I told you, down in that Mamertine prison, septic tank in the ground. Let me help you with this imagery a little bit more. So what they would do is they would execute, behead them, throw them back down in that hole. And then they would pull open a gate and they would flood that tank. They would pull open another gate and wash them out to sea. This is where Paul is. Paul is in that, and he's still writing to you and I to this day to encourage us. And he is in prison, and he knows he's going to die, and he's been abandoned by everyone. And yet his words were not filled with regret or fear, but with passionate challenge. Remain faithful to your calling is what he's telling him. Be firm in the truth, focused on eternity, even in the face of hardship and abandonment. Stay true. Stay focused. You see, it was important for Timothy to preach the gospel so that the Christian faith could spread throughout the world. We believe in Christ today, church. We believe in Christ today because of people like Timothy who continued on with that courage and strength and determination to continue to preach the gospel and to bring it to you and I to this day. It's still vitally important for believers to carry out the mission of spreading the gospel. Did you know that most of the billions of people who are alive today do not know Jesus Christ? Yeah. I'm going to give you another statistic in a moment. We'll talk about that. He is coming soon, church. Soon and very soon. I believe it in my heart. Don't ask me when. I don't know, and I wouldn't even begin to try. But he wants to find his faithful believers ready for him. Are we ready, church? Are we ready? If Jesus returns today, are we ready? Is your family ready? Your coworkers? It may be inconvenient for you and I to take a stand for Christ or to tell others about his love. But preaching the word of God is the most important responsibility the church or any of its members has ever been given. That is the responsibility that you and I have been given. Oh, that's the job of the pastor. No. No. All of us have been charged. We are charged to be prepared for courageous. We're told to be courageous and bold and strong, but sensitive to God, to God's calling, to the opportunities. I've told you myself that I've sensed a sense of conviction because I know that there's been a time where I could have had the possibility or the opportunity to present or talk to someone about Jesus. And something else came about at that moment. In the blink of an eye, you make this decision or that decision. I'm going to go talk to them about Jesus or I'm going to And I have to confess, I've not always chosen Jesus. I've got a feeling I may have to talk to somebody about that one day. We need to be prepared in season and out of season. Be bold, be strong, be courageous. Preach the word. Trust that the Holy Spirit will work through you to give you the words to say. People say, I don't know what to say. Don't worry about it. Trust in Him. Point number one of my message this morning. We must preach the word with urgency. Now more than ever, I think we need to be urgent about it. Look at your scripture, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading from the New King James. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. So He's already said, I'm doing something. I'm charging you to do so in front of God. I'm not charging you in front of Danny or some Joe off the street. I'm charging you before God. This is the same charge that I took when I was ordained as a minister. I was charged before God. And so are you. We are charged to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. We are charged to preach it with convincing, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering and teaching. Paul gives Timothy this solemn charge before God to preach the word faithfully and urgently. This is not some kind of a casual suggestion. You know what you might want to do? You might want to do this. Have you ever thought about doing that? No, he says, I charge you to do this. You're to do it. We're to preach with readiness, whether it's convenient or not. The gospel is needed in every season, not just when it's easy. I used to work with a guy, and one of his favorite sayings was, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Amen? So if spreading the gospel was easy, everybody would be doing it, wouldn't they? Yes, Pastor. But that does not negate, that does not give us a free pass. That doesn't mean, oh, it's too tough, so I don't have to do it. No, yes, you do, too. Yes, you do, too. Paul is encouraging Timothy to be ready. Paul knew that the time was short and that Timothy might be tempted not to preach during those difficult times or of persecution, or maybe skip over those passages that talk about the hard subjects. Did you know that there are pastors who have been fired from the pastorate? You've heard me tell you this. They have been fired by their church because they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. They preached about sin, hell, fire, and brimstone. And the congregation said, we don't want to hear that. We want you to preach about Jesus with the little lambs, those little soft little critters, like them little goats that I got to hold yesterday. Well, we want you to preach about that, Pastor. We don't want to hear about all that hard stuff. I think that's what Paul called tickling of the ears. Paul exhorts Timothy, preach it anyway. Be ready to serve God in any situation, but be sensitive to the opportunity when it's there and take advantage of it. Preach it with conviction. It says to convince, rebuke, or exhort. The word of God must confront sin and encourage the weary and call people to repentance. Because if the word doesn't challenge you, it will not change you. Timothy was to proclaim it. He was to do it with that urgency, availing himself to every opportunity. And as a servant of Christ, Timothy would be called upon to convince, that is, prove or refute. He would have to rebuke what was false. He would be required to exhort or encourage sinners to believe and for saints to go on for the Lord, even when the going gets tough. It's easy when the things are going good. But when it starts getting a little tough, the resistance starts to push back. We can't quiver. We can't cower. We can't back down. We must stand strong. In all of this, we must be unfailing in patience. Long-suffering, I love how Scripture calls it long-suffering. It's just another great way of saying being patient. And we must do it in our faithful teaching of sound doctrine. We must preach with patience and truth, even when people don't want to hear it. Paul warns that a time will come when people will not endure the sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Let me just put it real clear. It's what's happening today. More and more people, not just young people, all generations. More and more people are wanting to hear the good words, the easy words, the soft words. Tell me what I want to hear, not what I need to hear. Tell me what I want to hear. And if you can't do it, I will find me a pastor or a preacher or a teacher who will do it for me. And you know, as long as the money's right, there's somebody willing out there to teach that word, tickle that ear. But we, church, have to stand strong. We have to stay faithful to truth even when it's unpopular. We cannot water down the message just to match the culture's the desires of our culture. We must fulfill our ministry even when it's hard. The world needs the unchanging word of God, not a message that's shaped by trends. Point number two. Paul is telling Timothy to fight the good fight and do it with endurance. Verse 7, look at your scriptures. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Those are heavy words coming from a man who has been through what Paul has been through. We know his resume: shipwrecked twice, bit by a poisonous snake, stoned, beaten, left for dead, cold, hungry, wet. And he says, I have kept the faith. You know, as he was nearing the end of his life, Paul could confidently say that he had been faithful to his call. How many of us can do that? How many of us can do that? And so Paul says, because I've done that, I can face death and I can do it calmly, knowing that he was going to be rewarded by Christ. Paul confidently expected and looked forward to seeing Jesus again. If you have questions about that, we'll talk about that later. The Lord, the good news of Jesus proclaims that all believers will receive that heavenly reward that Paul talks about. We will receive that crown, but we won't wear it. Paul received it, and I think he immediately took it, and he threw it at the feet of his Lord and Savior, not being worthy to wear that crown. And when we're with Jesus, we will discover that everything we experienced for his sake was well worth it. Paul looks forward in verse 8. He said, finally, there's laid up for me that crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That's you and I, church. You and I. Church, our walk with God, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. We need to pace ourselves. We need to pace ourselves so that we can run the good race and we can finish faithfully, keeping our eyes on our eternal reward, not some kind of earthly temporary comfort. The finish line is worth every sacrifice that we will give. Point number three, and we'll begin to turn for downstairs. Trust the Lord when others fail you. Trust the Lord when others fail you. And I can promise you that every human being will fail you at some point in their life. I, your pastor, will fail you at some point. I won't do it intentionally, I promise you that. But I will. You know why? Because I'm human. I make mistakes just like y'all. Paul says in verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He said, he's been talking about all these people who have deserted him. He said, but the Lord stood with me. That ought to be an encouraging thought for all of us to know that he is standing with you. He said, he stood with me and he strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me. And that all the Gentiles, by the way, that would be each and every one of us, that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, Satan, snatched. Jesus snatched another one out of Satan's hands. Paul describes having been abandoned, yet he doesn't grow bitter. It would have been so easy. It would have been so easy to have been bitter and angry with these people, but he's not. Why? Because he said, the Lord stood with me. God's presence and strength were enough to keep him preaching and delivering Paul through all the harm. He trusted that the Lord would deliver him from his present evil and preserve him for his heavenly kingdom. Paul wasn't worried about being beheaded. In fact, he says in Philippians 1, he says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with saints of this world who were in their advanced stages of life, and they look me in the eye and they say, I don't know why he won't take me home. Because they said, I'm ready to go. I said, well, he's not done with you. And of course, as one saint told me, he said, I wish he'd hurry up and get done with me. They were ready to go home. Paul may have been forsaken by men, but the Lord stood with him. Not only that he was divinely strengthened to preach the gospel at his trial. Paul stood at a trial before Festus and King Agrippa and Beatrice, and he preached the gospel in a court filled with unbelievers. Didn't bother Paul any. He was trying to convert King Agrippa. He trusted in the Lord. Listen, church, people will let you down, but God never will. Keep ministering even when you feel alone. I can't help but to think of our missionaries that are dispatched around this world. I've met missionaries that are in places they can't even tell their mama where they're at. And they have to live almost solitude lives because if the government finds out who they are and what they're really there for, if they don't end up in prison, it could end up in death. Lonely. But it doesn't stop them from preaching the gospel. People are going to let you down, but God never will. Keep ministering even when you feel alone. God's faithfulness is greater than human failure. And when you feel abandoned, remember the Lord stands with you. That's what Paul said. Paul said, preach the word boldly without compromise. Fight the good fight with endurance and purpose. Trust in the Lord even when others will abandon you. And I'm telling you, they're going to abandon you. Paul reached the end of his life. He could look back and know that he had been faithful to God's call. the time had come for him to pass the baton, pass the torch to the next generation. I want to stop right there for just a second. And if I run over, well, I'm running over, so be it. My wife will get mad at me. She's in nursery today. Yeah. I told somebody yesterday, I was talking to a church member, one of our saints. I can't wait till the day that the young people run us old farts out of here. Yeah, your pastor just said it from the pulpit. Because we want to see this church go on. And if we don't do everything we can do, then it won't. We want to pass it on to the next generation as Paul passed the gospel on to Timothy. We need to be preparing leaders to take over this place so that the world can continue to hear the life-changing message. Timothy was Paul's living legacy. Who is yours? Because of Paul's work with many believers, including Timothy, this world today is filled with believers. Again, what legacy are you leaving behind? Who are you training to carry on your work? We have an awesome responsibility to do all we can to keep the gospel message alive for the next generation. All right, I told you another statistic. You're going to have to listen to me carefully. Over half the people who have ever lived from creation to today, over half of those people are alive today. Let that sink in for a second. That means we've got a lot of population, is the best way to summarize that. Over half of the people who have ever lived are alive today. And most of them do not know Jesus Christ. Shame on us. Lord, help us. Help us to be a person who preaches and teaches the truth with conviction. May we, like Paul, be able to stand and say at the end, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I kept the faith. Let me ask you this morning. Will you finish your race with the same faith, hope, and focus that Paul did? His last words in verse 22, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you today. I pray that we come to you with hearts of conviction, that we come to you with new sense of boldness and obligation. An obligation to take your word to the farthest reaches of this world or to our next door neighbor, wherever it is. May we be prepared in season and out, when it's convenient and when it's not, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to share it with a world that is in desperate need of that message. Oh Lord, if there be one here today that doesn't know that truth, if there be one who hears this message over the internet or however, we just pray that you would stir their souls to unrest, stirring them to call out to Christ Jesus, to take control of their lives, to lead them, to guide them, accepting that gift of salvation. But Father, I pray that we would be bold servants to you to take that message forward. Lord, use us as you choose. That's what we were created for, is to be your servants. And so we pray this morning in the most powerful and holy name of Christ Jesus. And all of God's people said, Amen.